Fantastic song leading. And the congregational chorus for all that great singing. Amen. Blessed to be here with you this morning. And blessed to have you here with us if you're visiting with us. And we wish you a warm welcome, first of all. And we hope you'll have time after service to stick around, give us the opportunity and the privilege to get to know you a little better. Just looking around, I see some unfamiliar faces. Give us a chance and give me the chance to meet you and get to know you a little better after service. Happy New Year's Eve, by the way. Hopefully you have good and godly plans to celebrate New Year's Eve. It's good to celebrate the new year and look back and learn and celebrate the previous year. We just do it according to God's will. He's all for celebrating, I believe, and thanking and praising him that we made it through the past year and anticipate all the great blessings of this coming year. Speaking of which, it's a blessing to have Solomon and Sarah with us and their whole family. And for those of you who may not be aware, we've been blessed, we've been served by this congregation personally and our families, our kids. And we were blessed to go to be supported, to go to ministry training. And now we're blessed to be here serving together in this congregation as the Lord would have it. The Lord works in mysterious ways, huh? Amen, and in great and fantastic ways. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our great God and Father in heaven, we thank you again for this Lord's Day. Father, we thank you for all the blessings of this life. We do look back on this previous year, and we're thankful for all the ways you have blessed us. You've blessed us to the point we're able to be here again today on this Lord's Day. Father, you've had so many physical and material blessings for us. We thank you for those. We thank you for all the blessings in Christ that we've enjoyed and exercised over this past year. We even thank you, Father, as we should, for the trials and hardships that we've trusted you through, and many of those we may not even be aware of that each other has gone through, but we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your help. We thank you for one another and the love that we enjoy and experience in the body of Christ. We thank you for your word and for all those faithful who have gone before us to provide inspiration for us as we strive to press on and make it to the goal and home to be with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning's lesson is focuses on God's love for us and then our love in return for God. And that's kind of a tall order for anyone and for a preacher to try to express and communicate God's love for us. I'm not sure I can do it 100% effectively, but I'll do my best this morning. And of course, we'll trust in God's word itself to reveal God's love for us. I hope we leave this place this morning with just a deeper appreciation, perhaps a reminder at the end of the year of just how much God does love us, and that we'll find inspiration in this coming year to remain faithful to him, faithful to his church, faithful in service to him, and live a faithful, fruitful life in the upcoming year of 2024. And then I hope we'll take with us a renewed and refreshed commitment to love one another in the body of Christ, to love our God in return, to love one another, and then to love our neighbor as we love ourselves and as God has loved us. If we can take those three things with us today, and then we'll try to help each other carry those principles and those lessons with us throughout the year, it'll be a good year regardless of what this year may throw at us, right? Amen, when we trust in the Lord. First of all, the Bible makes it clear that God is love. And I think, you know, we may have many misconceptions of God's love. And hopefully this morning we'll get a little clearer picture of God's love. Can't get it all into one little short sermon, but 1 John 4 and verses 7 through 10 tells us, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So even our love for one another in the body of Christ, as imperfect as that love may be in the family of God and in the body, it's based on the love that comes from God and having a better understanding and appreciation for his love for us. And that'll enable us and empower us and help us learn how to love one another as God would have us to love one another, right? Not as the world has taught us to love one another. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And then in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. We want to know how God expressed his love for mankind and for you and I individually. All we have to do is read on. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And then in verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, although we're going to talk about loving God in this lesson, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And thank you, Richard, for that focus on that atoning sacrifice and the blood that was shed on our behalf to provide that atoning sacrifice and our reconciliation with our God and our loving Father in heaven. So he's expressed his love for mankind in many ways, but the greatest way he manifested his love was by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, to meet mankind's deepest needs. And I think we have to keep this fact in mind. He came to meet our deepest need. There are so many needs out there. As I drive into Vallejo this morning, coming over the 37 bridge, I see the need. There's just hundreds, if not more, of homeless people. There's people who are going without food and without shelter. And the needs in this world, there's people being terrorized by war at this time. Don't like to focus on it, but it's true. And we see the great needs in our own community and around the world. But we have to remember, Jesus came to meet our deepest need. He came to provide forgiveness of sins, not only forgiveness of sin, but freedom from sin. And he came to give us the hope of spending eternity with him. And then, of course, walking in peace with him during our short time here on this earth. We'll find trial and tribulation and conflict in this world. Jesus promised, they persecuted me and they'll persecute you also. But we have these other blessings from God to sustain us. He sent his one and only Son to provide a victory over Satan, sin, and death. And I don't know about you, when I look back over the previous year, 2023, I've run the gamut of emotions, had some victories I was very excited about in life, and then some other, you know, down and depressing times, and some times of mourning with those who mourn, even as we've lost some loved ones in the body of Christ and even from this congregation. And it helps to get back to the facts of life and the facts and the truth of the gospel. And the fact is, he sent his Son to give us victory over Satan, sin, and death. When we look at 1 Corinthians 15 and starting in verse 54, we're reminded of this fact and hopefully inspired by this fact this morning. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a quote from the prophet Isaiah 25 and verse 8. Reading on in verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hosea 13 and verse 14 is quoted. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. There is power in sin. Unfortunately, it's the power of death. All have sinned and all will experience death because of that sin unless Christ comes first. That's some bad news this morning. But thank God it doesn't end there and the story doesn't end there. But thanks be to God in verse 57 who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. The power of sin is physical death. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm disappointed this morning that my Steelers, I think, are out of the playoffs. You know, they put those big, long list of teams who still have a very long, long shot at the Super Bowl or the playoffs. My team, I think, they're out of it. Even if they get in, I hate to admit it, they're not going to cut it. The teams out there are stronger, maybe even the Niners. And they're just not going to be victorious this year. They've had some victories, but they're not going to take hold of the greatest victory, which is that Super Bowl ring. I have celebrated with some Niners fan when my Steelers did win. I have to put that in there, here in California. But I will root for the Niners now that the Steelers are out of it. The good news is, regardless of who wins the Super Bowl, as Christians, we can still celebrate a great victory. Only because Christ gained that victory and won that victory for us. And through his victory over Satan, sin, and death, we are now victorious. Amen? Regardless of who wins the Super Bowl, regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of what's going on in the Bay Area, regardless of what's going on in our culture, and I'm not saying it's not bad, it is, but regardless of all that's going on in this world, all that's going on in our lives around us, we're going to live a victorious life in 2024. Matter of fact, you can start today, the last day of 2023. Why wait till tomorrow? Gain the great victory in Christ if you haven't already. If you have already, then reclaim that victory and live victorious starting today, the last day of 2023, and on through 2024. John 3 and verse 16 and 17 reads, it's a common verse you see at football games, by the way, sometimes behind the goalposts. Thank God for those people. They're trying to sow some seed. There's a lot of people watching TV. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have, take hold of, eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is important to remember, even in spite of what all that's going on around us, which is ungodly, by the way, unbiblical and against God's will, to keep our focus on the fact that God is still looking to save people. He didn't send his son into this world to condemn this world, as we just read, but rather to save the world through him. I work for state parks, and we have some very courageous and heroic lifeguards, young guys. And they enter the surf from the beach or from the rocks and do, on a regular basis, rescues along the coast, especially now if you've seen the great waves and maybe you've seen it in the news with a lot of people watching the waves. People get too close, and there have been rescues just over this past week. But I suggest to you that Jesus is the greatest lifeguard, amen, who ever lived. He gave his life to save us. And he still wants to see more and more people not suffer condemnation and eternal separation from God, but rather experience salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all unworthy of his love, and yet he shows his love toward us anyway, regardless. Amen? That's in part why we've come to Christ to begin with, and in large part, the reason we stay faithful to Christ. In Romans 5 and verses 6 through 8, we read, you see, at just the right time, by the way, just the right time is in God's timing. God had prepared the world for the entry of his son and for the gospel to spread. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We have to humble ourselves, and I have to humble myself, and admit and acknowledge that we are powerless without Christ, aren't we? We're powerless to deal with our own sin problem. We're powerless to overcome death on our own. We're powerless to overcome mankind's greatest enemy, Satan himself. Although God is more powerful, Satan is powerful. Just look at the history of the world, right? We are powerless in and of ourselves to overcome these great obstacles and enemies. But while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank God. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still at enmity with God, while we were still enemies with God, while we were powerless and in our sin, that's when Christ died for us. Amen. We hear of heroic stories of soldiers who will gladly throw their bodies on a grenade to save their fellow soldier. Many heroic stories, and they're impressive and they're inspirational. When we talk about Jesus dying for those who are at enmity with him and his enemies, this is more like a soldier throwing themselves on the grenade that's about to take out an enemy soldier. How often do we hear about that happening? I never heard of it. Perhaps it has happened. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while we were still enemies of His, still at enmity with Him, in a sense, threw Himself on the grenade for us. But worse, He gave Himself and took upon Himself that punishment, the physical pain and suffering on the cross, the mental and emotional suffering that we can only imagine goes along with suffering on a cross, to take that pain and suffering upon Himself so we won't have to endure what we deserve. Amen? He was tempted in every way, and yet He was without sin. We've been tempted in so many ways and yet have given in to sin. But now we don't no longer need to be slaves to sin. Amen? And no longer have to suffer the consequences, the eternal consequences of sin. In Matthew 5 and verses 43 through 48, we read there that, and come to understand a little more God's love for all. Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what we normally think of in the world. But I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So why, you may ask? I ask myself why. Why would I pray for those who persecute me? Why would I pray for those who inflict pain on me and my loved ones? Well, here's the answer, verse 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's our motivation as Christians, to follow Christ in this teaching and follow His example in loving others. That we simply might be like God as we live our lives in this world and reflect His very nature and character as we live our lives. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? I like the little catchy phrase there. Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect or mature as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word perfect is translated mature. That you might be a mature, spiritually a mature human being, reflecting the very nature and character of your heavenly Father as you live this life. What a great goal to strive to attain to, not just in 2024, but in our lives as Christians. And God's compliment to us as human beings, for me, to even think that we have the potential to be like our Father in heaven. Perhaps we haven't been in 2023 in so many ways. Thank God we're still alive on the last day of 2023, right? We can repent, we can change, we can look to God for help and be more like our Heavenly Father in 2024, amen? God loves even those who deny Him, despise Him, defy Him, and curse Him. And we're called to love them too, just as He loved us. God disciplines those He loves. Hebrews chapter 12 and starting in verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. Another translation relates in your resistance to sin. Another great goal for us as Christians anytime, but especially going into a new year, I'm going to strive to resist sinning against God and trespassing against God and others this year. The challenge here, he said, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood or being physically hurt or injured by resisting sinning. So therefore, the implication is strive harder. Make more of an effort not to sin against God and to sin against others. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons and daughters, as God's people and God's family. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. In verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At least a loving, caring father. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons, and not children of God. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? How much more should we be subject to our Heavenly Father's discipline, is what he's getting at. They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best for them. That's always encouraging to me as a father. I did the best I could to discipline my children, bring them upright for that short time that I could. Amen? And that's what we do as fathers. That's what's expected by God. Of fathers, but he, God, disciplines us for our own good so that we may share in his holiness. So his painful discipline, that's painful and uncomfortable at times, is meant to bring about his holiness, as well as some other blessings we're going to see in a minute. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. One brother told me years ago as I preached this after the service, he said, "Yeah, Mike, I knew," and his dad was an elder in the church. "I knew when my dad, when I was a kid, I heard that belt going through those belt loops. It was too late. Like, just run. Don't try to talk him out of it." Dad's discipline was coming. His dad was doing the best he could to discipline his son during that short time. God's intention, as we read on, says, by it afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness, and therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. God's discipline is going to bring about good fruit, and it's going to strengthen us, strengthen our feeble knees, right? He has all good intentions for us to bring about good in our lives and to strengthen us. 1 John 2 and verses 3 through 6, we read, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. We can express our love and appreciation for God's love for us as much as we can understand it by trusting and obeying him." Amen. After all, we sing that song, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We'll recommit ourselves in 2024. And again, even today, last day of 2023, and to trust and obey him in all things. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not know do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. So sometimes when we get off course or the emotions are overwhelming, we have to just get back to basics, to trusting and obeying God, regardless of what it feels like. Stop thinking about all that may take place and what others have done, and just get back to trusting and obeying him. And how surprising, it has a funny way of getting us back on course, doesn't it? But anyone who does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person. And then in verse 5, "But if anyone obeys his word, the love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him." We want to know and have confidence in our Christian walk, especially as we think about the new coming year. We want to know and have confidence that we're walking with him and that we're walking in him, in Christ. Amen? We don't have to question that all the time. We don't have to question every day what ground we're standing on with God, right? "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Wow. I'm going to need your help with that one. Jesus set a high bar, right? But ultimately, as Christians, he's our greatest example, isn't he? We have other examples to follow in the New Testament, the Old Testament. But ultimately, Jesus is our common hero. Amen? And it's only natural to emulate and want to be like our heroes. I wanted to be like Lynn Swann. No Steelers fan? Nobody knows Lynn Swann anymore? Come on, it's the 70s. But I was a short white guy from Pennsylvania. But I was wearing that 88 Steelers shirt. He was my idol, right? I wanted to be like him. But now Jesus is my greatest idol and hero. The same is true for you as Christians. One final scripture, and then the lesson is yours. I said scripture, not one verse, by the way. Romans chapter 8. And starting at verse 34. I can think of no better verse or appropriate verse to finish with to somehow remind us and communicate God's great love for us. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died for us. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Again, when we get discouraged, when we get off track, we have to go back to the facts and allow the facts to impact our feelings, right? Rather than our feelings leading our lives, let the facts impact our feelings. All of a sudden, I start feeling better. How about you? When I think about the fact that Jesus already died for my sins, he was already buried for those 3 days, now he's already raised and at the right hand of the Father, I start feeling better. Even now. Even now, I'm feeling better. How about you? I hope so. I want you to go into 2024 feeling good about your faith and how much God loves you. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. He goes on to say in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come in the future in 2024, or nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think he covered all possibilities there, didn't he? Or he meant to. Nothing can separate us from the love of God today. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in this coming year, 2024. And nothing and no one and no thing can separate us from the love of God as long as we remain faithful to him and walk with him until we go on to be with him for eternity. Perhaps you have a need this morning to get yourself right with God. Thank God he sent his son, as we read, not to condemn this world, but to save this world. To save this world means to save individual souls and individual people, because people and souls are the most valuable to God. Amen? Because our soul and our spirit is going on to live eternity somewhere. It's either going on to spend eternity with God, with him in heaven, in that place that Christ has prepared for us, or to live in eternity separated from God. It is not God's good will or his intention for anyone, for any individual, to spend eternity separated from him. If you need to get right to him, you get right according to God's plan of salvation. Come believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Come believing that he gave his life on the cross, as we looked at it even in this lesson, on your behalf. Believing that, yes, he was buried, he was dead, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. Amen. And now is alive at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, he did all that for me 2,000 years ago. How do I take advantage of all that he's done for me? Well, you repent of your sins, turn away from evil, make a pledge of a good conscience, as Peter calls it, to do good and to live according to God's will. And then you're baptized and immersed with him in baptism. You come out of the watery grave of baptism, if you choose so today. The baptistry is right here behind me, behind the curtains. And then we all sing together, victory in Jesus, because your sins are forgiven. And with God's help, you're going to continue on walking faithful to him and with the help of God's family. Amen. If you have a need to respond, we give you this opportunity as we stand and sing.